A lot of concern, it seems. Various polls would tell you this. Various phone calls to this show and other communications and other editorial comments. A lot of uncertainty, I think would be the best way to say it, about a bid by a state-owned enterprise in China to take over Nexen, a Calgary-based energy company, Nexen, for $15 billion and change. The application is still pending. The approval process has been delayed 30 days until the 9th of November by the federal government as it tries to figure out its own net benefit clause that is sort of used as this catch-all for saying yes or no to certain investments. They're using that as a test in this case. It has already used it in another case of a state-owned enterprise from Malaysia to buy Progress Energy for $5 billion, or just about $6 billion. It said no. Petronas, the Malaysian company, is still working with the government to try to figure out what it wants. While we wait for the Nexen deal to be announced, that is a harbinger of what could come in the Nexen deal. So is that a statement about state-owned enterprises, these government-owned or state-owned companies? Is that what this is about? Is it just about China? Everybody's worried about China? Worried about China somehow getting inside our country and stealing intellectual property, the security aspect of this? A big company called Huawei, which is a telecommunications company, has backed away from bidding on federal government infrastructure. It was trying to get some contracts to build networks. A lot of concern about the security of that effort, and Huawei backed off that. So are we worried about security? Are we just worried about China because we don't know what it is, don't understand it, don't want to give it too much of a leg up? Are we worried about foreign investment in the oil patch? Well, that ship has sailed. So, you know, if we're worried about it, forget about it. The oil patch runs on foreign investment. So what is the delay? What are the concerns here about this Chinese company getting a greater hold, shall I say, on some oil sands and oil interests? With me, Roger Robinson, the president and CEO of Conflict Securities Advisory Group. Roger, thanks for joining me.
Thank you, Dave.
Roger, what is your group? What is your experience and your profile here?
Well, Dave, I used to head international economic affairs at the National Security Council under President Reagan back in the early 80s, and more recently, between 2001 and 2006, I served as both chairman and vice chairman at various times of a congressional U.S.-China Economic and Security Review Commission,
right,
which is our sort of second opinion on all matters China for the U.S. And they, of course, probed as a mandate the security dimensions of the economic and financial relationship between the two countries. And, of course, that also implicated a number of the concerns of our allies, including Canada. So my company now, RWR Advisory Group, We also maintain a stake in Conflict Securities, but our primary activity is RWR Advisory, and that's a risk management company located here in Washington, D.C. But we've continued to take an abiding interest in the security nexus with China and the markets.
Roger, when you say security, we've heard a lot about, you know, cyber security and this attempt by companies with like Huawei to get inside our telecommunications infrastructure. When you say security, do you mean that, or are there other aspects you're worried about?
Well, it's national security, Dave, and I think that gets to the root of the issue here, which is the nature of the state-owned enterprises that China are bringing to the Canadian market. You've already touched on Huawei, which is in the minds of many in the national security arena, an open shut case, as there's a beaconing and embedded technologies that have been alleged in those systems that have redounded, of course, to the benefit of the People's Liberation Army. And of course, Huawei serves two masters. It has a commercial dimension, to be sure, but it also needs to be responsive to the state. And that's true of the other large state-owned enterprises as well, including CNOOC, which is the entity bidding on on Nexen, and a firm that's already ensconced in Canada, Sinopec, which not long ago, a year or two ago, purchased Daylight Energy for $2.2 billion. It, too, has a kind of colorful background.
Well, you're right, and Sinopec involved in this controversial pipeline we're talking about, the Northern Gateway Pipeline by Enbridge. So that you make the point that, these state-owned enterprises are already here, Roger, and we've allowed them in up to this point. So why is the Nexen deal so critical, or seemingly so critical, or is it?
Well, it's a kind of threshold transaction, I think, Dave. I mean, it means that if the Nexen deal is approved, I think that you will find a queue outside the door of Canada pretty quickly with other state-owned enterprises that have been given the signal that, in effect, the water is fine, and to expand that investment. But when we go back and we look at the background of Chinese state-owned enterprises and their activities in Canada, it is a bit jolting. For example, you just mentioned Sinopec and Daylight Energy. I'm wondering if Daylight Energy and others that were looking at the due diligence, so to speak, assessment in deciding on that transaction, whether they took into account the size of Sinopec's exposure in Iran, for example. They're one of Iran's largest trading partners in the critical oil and gas sector. They're obviously assisting greatly with Tehran's ability to resist sanctions, for example. Another even more troubling aspect is that two of Sinopec's subsidiaries, starting in the late 90s and the early 2000s, had been sanctioned by the United States on four separate occasions for the proliferation of chemical weapons equipment and technology to Iran, of all places, which is, as you know, constitutes weapons of mass destruction proliferation. So, again, when we're looking at these firms and we assume that they're benign commercial entities, much like their Canadian counterparts, that's where the problem lies. I don't think that's so.
Is there, Roger, a case to be made by Canada that our rules of governance are tight, that the Canadian entity of any company would have to abide by Canadian jurisdiction, Canadian rules, and for those reasons we're protected? Do you buy that?
Well, I mean, up to a point. I mean, I think the Canadian government is taking this matter seriously, and I think the net benefits test is an appropriate way to look at these types of investments. I do feel that the security, national security dimensions are not being given short shrift. That's the good news. There was a very informative panel held by the McDonnell-Laurier Institute, as you may know, in Ottawa, on October 17th, that really brought forward a number of these issues. So I think that Canada is right in the scrutiny that it's giving this deal. But again, it's beyond the bounds of commercial Canadian companies to necessarily control the action here. And it's even difficult for the Canadian government to always have a good handle on how the Chinese are actually going to behave over time. You know, look at the experience of Japan, for example. They have 30,000 companies in China. You'd think that there would be every incentive for these two countries to get along well. But as soon as there were problems in the East China Sea, China slapped a rare earth embargo on Japan that was a stab at the industrial heart of Japan within 10 days of a fairly trivial incident of a detained trawler captain. Yep. This is not the behavior of what we could call a reliable supplier. We've also seen, of course, the nationalist protest against Japanese firms and nationals, overturning cars, shuttering factories. That's the parent company of the entities that are seeking to do business in Canada. We have to be alert to that parent company called China as well.
You know, there is the world, I guess the industrialized world, has this weird relationship with China, just weird. I mean, China virtually owns the United States by owning all its debt, and yet the U.S. clearly has serious problems with Chinese intervention into American business. But we have this weird thing in that China's this massive market that is mobile and wants to spend money. I mean, the middle class in China actually seems to actually be a middle class and has money to spend. But yet we have all these other concerns about China. So Roger, is it I don't know if we say no to China because we're worried that they're going to somehow intervene and damage our national security, which is a chief concern. It should be. But on the other hand, we want access to China ourselves. So it is this reciprocity issue that seems to be sort of at the crux of some of this stuff.
Well, I agree with you on the reciprocity issue. And if you talk to Industry Canada and others that observe these matters closely, you'll find that there's a lot of disappointment on the part of the Canadian government in the level of reciprocity
right. That
exists today in terms of the treatment of Canadian companies seeking to do business in China. They simply don't have the same access that China has to the Canadian market. That's one thing that I think that is worthy of working on, trying to improve that reciprocity. The other would be the structuring of deals, Dave. I don't think that it needs to be a blanket no. It just means that it's better to have minority shareholders, not full-up acquisitions, to be careful of those entities that have a national security track record, so to speak, that in some ways are troubling. There are firms in China that don't have such track records, and I think that a combination of the way deals are structured and the nature of the security-minded due diligence, which needs to be enhanced, are the two ways in which one can kind of walk this delicate line you're talking about so that that huge market is not shut down, yet time it can be exploited and investment can be received more prudently than today.
Roger, stand by if you could. I want to come right back to you. My guest is Roger Robinson, President and CEO of Conflict Securities Advisory Group, very knowledgeable about transactions with China and the risks of it. Back right after this.